हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Samhita, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarna 2, The Glories of the Eternal Associates of Krishna. Krishna brought the son of his guru, who had gone to Yamaloka, in the body born of his guru. Page 75. Okay. Krishna brought the son of his guru, who had gone to Yamaloka, in the body born of his guru, which had been devoured by Panchajana, the power of a Brahma weapon should not be considered strong. He protected you from the Brahmastra when you were burned by it. What more can it be said? He conquered Shiva in a battle of arrows. He sent the hunter Jara in his body to a special Vaikuntha, Swaha. Can he not protect the Yadus, Swaha? Thus their destruction is a faulty perception, and not according to the actual pastime. He took them to his abode in their spiritual bodies. Right, so Krishna is doing all these other wonderful things, so then how is it that just like this the Yadu dynasty would destroy itself and all, and he'd have no control over that? So it's all connected with, it's just his pastime. So this is just how he was arranging for them to all leave.
Yesterday came up a question which is connected to this point. We understand that the residents of the spiritual world come in here, Boma Lila, the eternal associates of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Gora Lila, the same principle applies, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But the question was that we chant that prayer to Rupa Goswami, and it is mentioned Swayam Rupa Kanamayanda Dahi Swapana Shivam. But we also know that there is Sadaka Rupa and Siddha Rupa, especially for Rupa Goswami, we know both. So the question was whether the Sadaka Rupa is his eternal form.
Means with the Lord in his pastimes here.
It is.
Why not?
That was the question.
Because he's in Gaura Lila in that form, and he's in Krishna Lila in another form.
Right.
So they don't have to be the same. It's not that. Otherwise, why is it that, Lalita is Sarup Damodar?
Right.
So always in Chaitanya's pastimes, then be Sarup Damodar, or that'll be the form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a problem that they have more than one form. By Krishna's grace, they can expand, because you see, anyway, as soon as the pastime is finished here, it's appearing in the next universe. So that means there'll be, so many pastimes going on in so many universes with one appearance of the Lord. So that means they've already expanded in all those universes. So what's the problem of having one in Vrindavan and one here? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think the doubt comes from the word sadaka, because if it's sadaka, it's not eternal.
Yeah, okay. But in all these kind of discussions, there is the point is, what's the point? What are they trying to gain from? I mean, what will they gain from this, following this path of logic? What substance will they gain that will dynamically move forward their Krishna consciousness?
I guess that we worship Srila Rupa Goswami.
Right.
So we worship him in a sadhaka form. So we want to know whether it's an eternal form or it's...
What does that matter?
Well, in terms of worship, it doesn't really matter because we still worship him in the same way.
Yeah, just like lunch prasad. It's Krishna. It's eternal. Then you eat it. Then the other brahmacharis come along and wonder what happened to the half a bucket of halava. And all they do is notice an empty bucket and another brahmachari laying next to it going, oh, you know. So does that mean now prasad's not eternal because it's not always there? Otherwise we should be able to eternally serve out of that, you know, like that Jesus took one loaf of bread and it's fed everybody and all that. And so are we in the right movement and where should we be and all that? Or should we just go back to the gulag? Life was better there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's nice things to think about. It's good that devotees are contemplating and that they're thinking about the Lord and his associates, but there's also Narad Muni points that out, that just thinking about the Lord, that's always going to be beneficial and you're always going to get a benefit. But, you know, like the demons, they think of the Lord and they all get liberation. But now, if you think of the Lord favorably, then you can get prema. You know, so the absolute platform will be attained, but it's just where on the platform do you want to be? So if we're working, it says it's a sadhaka, but at the same time, is there not also the quality of the pure devotees is that they're always humble? And so they'll say, I'm lowly, I know nothing. Sanatana Goswami is saying, you know, they all say I'm a scholar, but I don't even know who I am. Right?
Yeah.
He's the one that, before that pastime, was sitting with 30 Brahmins discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I mean, we sit with one person and discuss and that. That's enough. You know, and if it's a big occasion, there'll be, you know, a few people, but 30 Brahmins are there. It's not 30 Brahmins are there just sitting in on a class. This is 30 Brahmins discussing the point that the verse is made, and someone will bring out this point, someone will bring out that point. So what's the level of Sanatana Goswami that he can relate to, you know, descriptions by 30 different Brahmins on fine points on a verse of Bhagavatam? But he says, you know, I don't even know who I am. You know, I'm just low born, I'm this and that, and so. You know what I'm saying? The family that they're from, if you mention that family today, any Brahmin in India, I mean literally, any Brahmin in India will offer his respects. Their family is the highest you get. You know, there's Brahmins and then there's levels of Brahmins. And then within that, you know, you have the Saraswat Brahmins. Within that are the Gaur Saraswat Brahmins. And then the top of that, it's just that gotra, that is just like, wow. You know, it's just like everybody steps back. And then they all, oh, I'm low born. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is how they see. So if they're going to put it into this thing, but the point is if they just come along as suddenly a puff of smoke, boof, when there's Rupa Goswami in this fabulous form and that, and he does all his pastimes and all that, and then poof, he disappears. What is there for us to glean? You know what I'm saying? So the point is they come and perform the activities, go through the activities that we go through. And so therefore, you know, if Haridas Thakur can be tolerant of being beaten in 22 markets, surely we can be tolerant of a mosquito or, you know, somebody, you know, how you say, is sitting next to us that we don't like. You know? So they do all these things that we do, and so then that way we can relate. You know, they come as grihastas, they give everything up. It means... When you say, you know, you kind of have the cliche is, you know, yeah, how much money is that going to cost? Oh, that's going to cost a boatload. You know, it means a huge amount. Literally, he had a boatload, or I think it was more than a boatload. I think it was a few boats. And that's not, you know, these little ones you take, make a little paper boat, you know, like that, like the kids make, and then stick a few coins in it, you know. This is literally boats. You know, see, he left 10,000 gold coins, 10,000. And I think I was looking it up as those coins, they weren't like now the little 9 grams, 7 grams. They were 28 grams. You know, 28 like that. That was the standard gold coin, 28 grams. So 10,000 times 28 grams. And that's what he left with the local, what do you call it? You know, the local...
Shopkeeper.
Yeah, shopkeeper who, you know, who probably, you know, gives loans to people, and he kind of helps out in that way. So we have to understand is that they're on a very special category, but they come and they perform their activity so we can appreciate. So even if they're following the practice of a sadhaka, so we take from that. And it's only if they're not, unless they're eternal, how do we worship? It's like, but the point is if the process of bhakti is eternal, we're worshiping with this body. So then the question is my devotion eternal? Why don't they put it that way?
Well, I don't think they sing that far.
That's the point. Is, in other words, I told you there was that story. What's it? Anadika Krita Kritam. The whole it's a story. The whole moral is too much, too little. Mm. You know this one? Mm. You didn't tell? Never tell this one? Yeah. Whether you want to hear this one or not, it's Sanskrit. It's a Sanskrit. It's a Sanskrit ghost story.
Wow. Well, yeah.
So there was this guy, a Brahmin, and somehow or another, they were like tantrics, so they're kind of like, you know, more in the mode of ignorance. Tamasic kind of, you know, the worship and all that, and ghosts and this and that. So then he heard about this mantra that could bring dead bodies back to life. And so then he approached worship this one ghost to get it. And then the ghost told him he had to kill somebody to get it, because then by killing that person, the ghost gets the benefit, because he gets they take those people, and then they make them their assistants. You know, just like he'll become their assistants. You know, you worship the ghost to get powers, and then when you leave your body, then the ghost gets you as an assistant to help them work. So it's an investment. You know. So he did that, and he got the mantra. And so then there was a dead body, and he went up to it, and he started chanting the mantra. And so it's, you know, it's always like a Sanskrit shloka. It's two lines, right?
Yeah.
You know, we write it as four, but it's, you know, it's got eight padas. I mean four padas, but it's actually two halves, you know, like that. So he chanted the first one, and the body started to move. He freaked out. You know, it was just too much for him. And so then he left, you know. And so then he went to his house, you know, and he was there, and he was thinking, wow, that was weird, you know, and all that. And then after some time, then that body shows up, but it's only half alive. So one eye, everything is all like fully alive and coming, but the other half is still dead.
Mm-hmm. And when he gets there, ideas.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody's gotta come up with the ideas. So then, you know, that half dead, half alive, that ghost is chanting Anadi Kakri Takri Tam. He's chanting too much, too little. It means you chanted half the mantra, which was too much, you shouldn't have chanted at all. Or, it's too little, you should have chanted the whole mantra. So he just freaks out, and then, you know, runs off to the next village. You know, and he's staying in place there. And after some time, then that, you know, ghost thingy shows up. But now it's, you know, because it's been some time, the one half is in perfectly good shape, the other half is starting to, you know, start to look, you know, more Hollywood. You know, and so then, you know, and then he freaks out and he runs off again and that, and then he goes really, really far, And then he set himself up and all that, and I think, you know, he's leading not a very good life, you know, a sinful kind of life, and he's there, and probably some hotel, and, you know, like this and that. And then, you know, again the thing shows up. You know, this time the other half's like very much not in good shape, you know, and comes in, you know, big eye, you know, the same thing, you know, nadika kritaka tam. So this time he was, you know, up in a, because it was in a, I think, a town or something, he's up on the higher floor, so then he freaks, he jumps out the window and he dies. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So,
the moral of the story?
Says don't do, in other words, don't half do something. Either don't do it or fully do it. So if they're going to take all this through, that, you know, can I worship Rupa Goswami because if he's not eternal, well, what about you? You know, you're talking about his form. Your form, is that eternal? So then bhakti being eternal, how can it be worshipped with something that's not eternal? So if your body's not eternal, why are you worried about whether Rupa Goswami's is eternal or not? If you take that as bhakti, that I worship him, it's valid bhakti, then what does it matter whether his body is eternal or not? Just on that logical position, because otherwise they're accepting automatically, I'm doing the worship, so of course it's got to be good. But if they're going to apply that logic one way, why not apply it the other way? So therefore, either don't get involved in this. Rupa Goswami, the Acharyas all worship. He's the one we're following. And these kind of details, that's between him and the Lord. They take care of these things. We don't have to know all the details of this. You know, do they understand how the, you know, what is all the chemical composition of that nice, you know, hot tea that they're drinking? Do they understand the full things? You know, what a cranberry has in it and what's the whole thing? They can just see all the different numbers and, you know, hexagonals all put together and all that, and that's what they're seeing when they drink, and because they're seeing like that, therefore it's nourishing their body, and if they don't see, it won't happen. No, they just drink the tea and think, this is nice, and everything goes on. So why do they have to worry about this? They know they drink hot tea, and this kind of tea is good for you. You know, you got a cold, it's got, what do you call it, vitamin C, this, that, blah. You know, drink it, you know, you feel better. And they don't have to know all the tech. So why do they look at this? You know, I mean, if you're going to be a scientist, be a scientist. If not, then just be happy that this is what everybody else is doing. The great personalities we see from their pastimes, they're doing wonderful things. You know, the Lord's appreciating, and so that's the whole point. It's if it's about pleasing the Lord, the Lord's pleased with them. Therefore, if we follow in their footsteps, then we can please the Lord. Because it's by His grace we'll know. No? Yeah, otherwise, then what's the point of these things? Because it's always to create a doubt. You know, am I doing the right thing? Is this and that? Oh, should I actually not just be doing the alternative of, you know, joining the yoga society and all that kind of stuff, and I'll get more. You know, it's like, what else are you going to do? You know, maybe I should be sitting in the sauna, you know, something like that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, but you can do that and chant, you know. You don't have to give up devotional service to sit in the sauna. Unless you're in that competition, that's a problem. Competition?
Sitting in the sauna?
They have the, who can sit in the hottest sauna?
Finland?
I'm not sure, but there's always a Russian guy there.
Of course
there's a Russian guy there. And I think the Russian guy won.
Yeah.
He went to 107 and he won, but he died in the sauna. He got there, he was alive in the sauna. The Finnish guy had left, so he was actually the winner. But then, you know, when they come in to congratulate him, you know, yeah, he was dead.
Probably that's why he didn't live. he didn't have that money.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Or maybe the money went to the family or something, yeah. You know, so it's like it's not necessary to over. This is what you call overthinking. You know, why would you gain this from there? Why not that he's talking about Lord Chaitanya as the you know, the thing, or how he's done this wonderful work, or he's written Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, empowered by the Lord. Why would you take his particular body? You know, so how Krishna wants to arrange it, that's up to them. But we know it's the form is spiritual. You know, because if it's a gate, it's just like, is the Artik lamp spiritual or material? Right? It's made out of brass, but so how can I offer something material? I'm offering fire. That's also material. How is this going on? You know, it's potatoes. Are they spiritual? Some say in Russia they're all spiritual. Just on the market they're spiritual. Other places are mundane, so. You know, so the thing is, why aren't they worried about that? The point is that it's the bhakti shakti that makes everything spiritual. That's what gives the potency. So that's what we're worried about, is getting the result. So if the result's coming, what do you care what exactly it is? Right? Like we're engaged in spiritual consciousness and a spiritual process. Right? And so the ingredients, if our consciousness can be purified, why can't the ingredients? And so whether it's directly a spiritual form, Satchitananda, or whether it's spiritualized, so it doesn't matter. You know, but the form is there, you know. So, you know, the thing is become qualified, go there, and then you'll see for yourself. You can take part in the pastimes. Why not? Then you can see. You know. Why worry about others? You know, just go there, get qualified, go there yourself, you know, and then you and your spiritual body can go out and go over and check out if his is spiritual. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, it's natural to think about things, but the, you know, it's just like, think about, you know, which aspects are the most important to think about. Otherwise, let's say, okay, now we have a cup, right? Now we put the tea in the cup, and it's prasadam, right? It's prasadam. So therefore, the cup, you know, in one sense, being engaged in the devotional process is spiritualized, right? Because the tea is in it, and it's prasadam, and the cup is holding the tea, right? Now, here comes the dilemma. The handle on the cup, that's not directly connected with that. That's connected with us. So does that mean the handle actually may not be spiritual because we might not be thinking of Krishna, but the cup itself is spiritual because it's holding the prasad? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So is that important? You know, so why get into these things? You know, it's like I've had before as a kid. It's okay. Contamination goes by touch. You eat prasad on the plate. The plate's touching the floor. But the floor is this whole thing, and that's touching the walls, and that's going out, and that's the building, the foundations, that's touching the earth. So when I take prasad, the whole planet becomes contaminated. You know, I've actually had people go, you know, well, you know, what about this? How do we, you know, they, you know, it's just they start freaking out.
Even
though
the
word
joke.
Hmm?
The small ones still do it as a joke.
Yeah, they still. Yes, it was a younger kid. Yes, so it seems to be. It's just one of the things they think about.
The first time this, I said, "This is made of carbon, so it purifies everything." Okay, good. Then they will have arguments.
So, in other words, they don't have to go that far. Take the essence. You know, that would be like how you say, let's say we have some milk and some water, right? Then we bring the swan. It drinks the milk, leaves the water. But these kind of questions are, we have the milk and water, we drink the water, leave the milk.
Okay.
You know, so I'm not sure what animal does that, but it's definitely it's not the swan.
The human does that.
Vegan human diet. Yes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So here's that then the Lord, he took them in their spiritual bodies. And he's taking care of all these things, so we don't have to worry about, you know, oh, this pastime happened, so this can't be eternal. No, it's just the Lord is performing pastimes, so you have to have something that people can relate to. You do human pastimes, you expect things to go in a certain way. So then we see where it's convenient, it does go in that way. And where it's not, he'll show his God feature. But it's still, it'll be as such as in the context of that human. Like, it's raining, Krishna holds up an umbrella. The umbrella happens to be Govardhan Hill. Right? But it wasn't by his mystic powers he dealt with it. You know, he just held it up as like an umbrella. So then he interacts in that way. Because otherwise he does the other, then how do you interact? Unless you're godly like that, then how do you interact? Does that make sense? Yeah. So for Krishna, it's all about interaction. It's not about all the mystic and this and that. Those things, those things his energies take care of. Yeah? Next, it is proven that the associates of the Lord appear and disappear according to his will. Anucheta 126, now the doubt. Purva Paksha. Let us accept that the associates went to the Lord's abode in their bodies. There, Swayam Bhagavan exists. They have no pain of separation. The Lord is capable of doing this. Why does he not have other persons similar to them appear in the material world along with him and stay there for some time to give mercy to mortals along with them? Uttar. The Lord and his associates have unshakable bonds of friendship and cannot be separated. That is explained in the following. Because he's saying, he's there with them, you know, in the eternal realm. They stay there. Why doesn't he come with, you know, some other people and all that? You know, just with the material forms into his pastime. So it's that, no, the associates, they always want to be with Krishna. So they always assist him in his pastimes. So therefore he comes with them. Yeah. Uttara. Oh, no. Although Krishna, being the possessor of infinite powers, is the only cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of innumerable planets, he did not desire to remain with his manifested pastimes on earth. What is the use of this mortal world or its people? But he made known the destination of those who had gone to his abode. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.31.13 Udriti Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Even though the Lord has unlimited powers, still he has acted in this way. His unlimited power is described. He is the only cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of unlimited planets. But he is indifferent, though he is the only cause, because he acts through his unlimited shaktis. Having dispatched the devatas to Swarga, he did not desire to remain visible on earth with his associates. Pranetum vapu se shitam. In other words, he desired to disappear. Why? What is the use of this mortal world to the Lord? He did not care for the material world, but he cared for Swarga Loka. By the request of those on Swarga, such as Brahma, the Lord appeared in this material world, and at their request alone, he went to Vaikuntha. This is the implication of the statement. He made known his going to Vaikuntha, Gatim, to Brahma, and others situated in Swarga and other planets, Swastha. Other explanations are not accepted by the Dori, since they are opinions of demons and contradict Uddhava's statement. Right? So it's just not important. It means the Lord in his free will, he comes and goes, he does his pastimes, that's all that's important to the devotees. Right? So Uddhava's statement. Pardarsh ya tapa tapasam avi tripta drisham nrinam adayantaradhad yastu sva bimbam loka lokshanam. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who are unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penance. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.11. Right, so everybody could see him, but then his unmanifest, when he disappears, that means then those who are not qualified to see because they haven't actually applied themselves to the devotional process, they're the ones now that can't see him. Right? Does that make sense? Uddhava also said that the opinions of demons should not be accepted by devotees. Devasya Mayaya Sprisha Ye Chanyad Asad Astrita Brahmyate Dhir Natad Vakyer Atman Yupat Tamo Ut Upta Uptat Mano Harao. The intelligence of the devotee who is absorbed in Paramatma is not bewildered by the words of those touched by the Lord's Maya, or those who take shelter of a demoniac mentality. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.10, Sarada Darshani 11.31.13. Right, so the non-devotional mentalities are not important for the devotees. Right? So that's why we see is that people try to establish their platform of thinking as important, but unless it's connected to the scriptures and connected to Krishna, it doesn't have a value. Right? Just like on Anamoya, you're going to have your values, right, on how you can enjoy. You'll eat this, you'll do that, you'll live in this way, and all these things. You'll dress like this, talk like this. You've decided this makes you happy. And that's all you're worried about. You're not worried about any moral system, because morality is defined that it is something that makes the general people happy, right? By the moralists, right? So he's just worried about himself. But he's interested in the sense gratification and everything. It's not that everybody else isn't, but he's only interested in himself. Right? So now when you go up to the next level, then the moralist will say, you know, what you're saying is very nice about taking arts and sciences and technology and everything and enjoying it and improving life. That's great. But why are you so selfish? Why not see that everybody's benefited? Right, so they'll take it to that next level. So it's still that's why you say extended sense gratification, the sense gratification, but in such a way that we can cooperate together. So what will allow everyone to cooperate together and thus get mutual benefits, you know, from that sense gratification or the opportunities for, then that's the pranamoy, you know, value system, right? That is called morality, but it's still. Because more, if it's just about yourself, it's not called morality. It has to be include some others to be called morality. But it's still their perception and their idea. Right? They don't have any idea for anybody else. Right? But pranamoy then does. You know, of course, they only extend it for humans. They don't extend it for animals. You know, that's where you see the main point is they care for others, but only it's not they say it's universal love, but it's not including all the living entities and everything like that. You know, it's just there's always a defect. Then in Manamoy, they're accepting the Veda, so therefore morality is based on the Veda. Though it's still the same position they want to enjoy, but they're willing to accept the morality of the Veda. And accept that there's that supreme authority in that context, but they're still in the context of their enjoying themselves, right? So they still follow morality. That's good for everyone. Like you see the varnas, they benefit the society, right? The ashram is, you know, for your benefit, but the varnas is benefit society. No, then in Vijnanamoy, then they give up that sense of morality that they're trying to benefit everybody on the material platform, you know, I mean on the sensual platform, and just focus on the soul. But then God becomes impersonal instead of he can be a person. But in that, you see is that there's going to be those on Pranamoy who, the concept of God is all right, you know, it's there, but they don't have a specific clear idea. But the concept of God is, they're willing to accept that, but it's not considered a solid position because it's just an extension of the morality, right? But it's not. So those who accept the Vedas, then you have, you know, definition of Vishnu and this and that, or definition of the demigods. So then they take it in that way, but it still has that element of it, that it's not, it's on the mental platform, You know, it's a manamoy, it's on the mental platform still. It's not come to the point of spiritual. They see their relationship as the soul with God. They just see that they as a living entity, then by worshipping God can get benefits. Right? The vijnanamoy, then it becomes impersonal. So only devotees, they're able to take this understanding of things and take the point is those directions by Krishna, you know, that we as a soul try to please Krishna. Right? So then that situation is on the platform of the soul in vijnanamoy, but it's for pleasing Krishna, it's a personal. So it's done through bhakti. So that will bring us to anandamoy. While the other four will just go around in a circle, because it'll get impersonal, they'll give up the moral thing, so at some point then they're going to have a problem. So then they're going to come back and then, you know, try to do, take up that philanthropic and all those kind of things. Does that make sense? You know, they drop down to that. They don't become karmis. You know, as such. You know, it is that point, but they don't look like it that they're doing. Because, you know, they're the renounced. They're the tyagis or the sannyasis or the impersonalists. So they'll come and open hospitals and schools and distribute food. And people will say, that's great. You know, people will ask, oh, you're religious. What are you doing in this area? But that's pranamoy, technically. You know, so unless they're basing it on shastra, then it may have that. But then the problem comes is if they do karma, how will they get liberation? You know, so they'll say nishkam karma, but that's what they talk actually to the householders and stuff. They should do nishkam because they want the material results. So they're just saying that, but the point is it just goes back around. They just nourish themselves. Does that make sense? They naturally move up and they naturally come down. So, yeah. So for the devotees, they just take the essence, you know, the essence of that. So therefore they take the milk, not the water. And so that essence then is that it's all about pleasing Krishna. So if this conversation is how it pleases Krishna, then fine, it's great. But in here, it just appears to be just ways to, you know, unnecessarily create doubt in an already perfect system. You know, that they can have doubts, and either the doubts gives them inspiration, or they're looking for an excuse why not to be so serious. You know. Does that make sense? But we see is from their, you know, their activities and all that, they're engaged in devotional activities, right? They're engaged in things, they're coming to the class, so they must be have some seriousness, right? So it can't be necessarily that, but just then it's just a matter of then the taste must be a taste in speculation. You know. It's just something on their level that they can speculate on. You know, they're not speculating on the level like, you know, Jiva Goswami is talking.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, like we have a marmas on the body,
right,
which activates, you know, a lot of energy,
right,
those
right.
points.
Right, yeah.
People also have marmas in the mind.
Right, right.
So when you press certain points, not necessarily knowingly, but unknowingly, because it's just, it was connected to something, then I gave the example,
uh-huh.
then I quoted the verse,
mm-hmm.
and the person actually was cultured enough not to ask me in an open forum.
Oh, okay, well that's nice.
So, it's a lady,
mm-hmm.
so she asked me on the side, because she had this. But I guess how it works, I just activated, you know, I just pressed a certain thing, and then the whole process
starts
and it's in it, and it's like super fast and super active.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't actually that bad. But some people, they can't control themselves, so they just openly go into that state, which is a disturbance.
Yes.
But otherwise,
yeah. That, the good thing is that they're thinking. It's just that one has to. What I was meaning, we're going through the platforms of the koshas. You know, the different levels of consciousness was that from these we only take certain things, outside of that, we don't even, it's not worth thinking about. So in this way, it's that the range of thinking is wider than it needs to be. Right? Because you can say, oh, but then you're restricting. It's that, well, you're restricting anyway. Yeah. You only, a conditioned nature thinks in a particular area. But the point is of that conditioned nature, what's useful that you take? You know, why is it when you go into the kitchen, you only use certain pots? Why aren't you using everything in the kitchen? Why aren't you using the broom while you're cooking? You know, like that. The soap is there. You're not using the soap in the cooking. Why are you restricting? Why are you, you know what I'm saying? So the point is everybody restricts in a particular area. That's what gives something a particular flavor or definition. It's called cooking because you do those things in the kitchen. I have, heard and seen boys in the kitchen. Means that it would be, there was a time in the Gurukul in the evening, because I think of those times we were, not getting up as early, so we get up a little later, get up at 4 and go for a Mangalartik at 4:30. And so then the boys would go to bed a little later, like 8 or something. And so then, generally in India people eat at night and they're cool with that. Sometimes they're, we eat at night and then we're finished, but they eat at night, they're fine, probably because they don't eat how much we eat or something. It's a meat more lightly or something, I don't know, but whatever, they eat at night. So you had the crew that ran the kitchen, and you had, their friends and all that, And so then after Prashad, while they were closing up the kitchen and all that, others would go off the bed. These guys would hang out and talk. And now and again, especially if there was something left over from lunch, it was they had a feast and there was pani or sabji or something like that, they'd be very happy. And so they would start a kirtan. Right? And they're in the kitchen. And so the way it was is the Gurukul would have been to the north of the kitchen, all the houses and all that. But the kitchen had a veranda on the south. So if they did a kirtan there, you wouldn't hear it in the Gurukul.
Yeah.
But to the south was the Grihastha part, the ones the other side of the Goshala.
Oh.
Like that. And so then they would hear it, and they'd tell us about it. So then they would get out, because you're cooking for like 140 people. So you had big pots and pans and all that. So they'd get out with those. You had the mortar, the cast iron mortar with that big, cast iron thing. Someone had used that because you get a dunk-a-ding, dunk-a-ding, like this. And then someone else has the pot, and you take the spatulas and you bang the pot. And they would get, because, they could all play mridanga. So they could get some far-out sounds out of these things. And someone playing with the hands, like the big flat ones, you play with the hands, like a djembe and like that. So they had this very, the devotee was telling me, very melodious, the kirtan. Bengali's good at singing. They'd sing those, Bangladesh tunes and like that, and they'd play the thing. It says it's very melodious. It's just a little bit weird at 8:30 at night to hear this kirtan. But everything was from the kitchen. It was all kitchen pots and pans. So you can do that, but generally speaking, kitchen means you cook. You know what I'm saying? You do have households where it's also a kind of standard, a story arc that, there's the kitchen and then there's the living room, and the husband says something stupid out in the living room and a plate goes flying, whistling past and hits the wall and smashes on the floor. He knows, ooh, that was wrong. And he's just happy that it wasn't a knife. Yeah. So you can use for so many things, but the standard is you just use for cooking. And what preparation you're cooking, you choose those utensils. So since we're having a wide range of our conditioned nature, it has so many elements, so many qualities, so many knowledge, so many skills. But for doing a particular service, that matches that what your nature, of all the things that are there, which ones are useful for Krishna? Right? And so then that aspect, then that's what's used for Krishna. And so the rest of it you take. So in the same way is that when we're reading the verses and all that, we take those things that are going to be useful in our devotional service. not those things that are just speculation or karma. So free from karma or jnana. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Although he is the only cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction, because, yat, he has unlimited powers of his nature, having made the yadus disappear, he did not desire to keep his body there any longer. He took his body to his abode, right? Because if his associates go, then what does he have to do? He has pastimes with his associates. So when he comes, he brings the associates. Like you see, is that before he appeared, they appeared, so they're already there. Like that. You know, a few of them may appear right at the same time, like Uddhava or some others like that, but others have already appeared before, like Ugrasena and others are all, because they're seniors, so they're already there. And they set everything up. Then, when they leave, then naturally he goes. They go back to the past and he goes. So we see is the Lord, it's his will, but he's following his devotees. So where the devotees are, that's where Krishna is. Right? You know, that's the point. He may be, you know, in this place, maybe in Vaikuntha, but he is where his devotees are chanting his holy name. You know. So. The reason is given, without my associates, what is the use of the material world? Because the material world, its only purpose is to perform its pastimes, to attract the living entities to become his associates. So if his associates aren't there, what does he have to do there? He showed particularity, according to his desire, the destination of those who had gone to his abode. Sukadeva spoke thus, the verse. Sukadeva spoke, but when I'm looking at it, I see Sukadeva and spoke together, so Spookadeva. What does it say? So annoying. In other words, don't look ahead. Keep the word that you're reading, stick to that.
Yesterday I had the same experience. I was reading and I thought about something else just for a nanosecond.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mixed up the words.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's and then it was so funny. This actually proves that the mind is faster than the speech.
Yeah, yeah, no, the mind is very fast. I mean, it's the fastest there is on the material platform. Mm-hmm. It's faster than light, it's faster than... Because you think of the place, you're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, that's the whole thing. So it's... Yeah. No, it is. Okay. Yeah, I've seen a poster, first engage intelligence before opening mouth. You know, yeah. Yeah, it's really, yeah, you just have to always keep it here. Anucheda 127. The associates disappear like the Lord and not otherwise. This is the Lord's intention, right? So as he disappears, it means he's eternal, they're eternal. And so it's just disappears means we with material consciousness or material senses can't see them. So they disappear and go to the abode. Where's the abode? They're in Dwarka. Where's the abode? Dwarka. So in other words, it becomes apricot pastimes. So just we can't see them anymore because we're not qualified. So it's Krishna's mercy. It's not that he's obliged. It's Krishna's mercy that he allows that those with material senses can see the Lord and his associates. You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then allowed, then unmanifest means that's not the case. Only those who are transcendental can see. But, you know, as Krishna reveals, right? That's his place. When they will quarrel among themselves with eyes red because of complete intoxication from liquor, they actually will not die, though they will appear to die like others. Only when I decide that they disappear, they will disappear spontaneously. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.3.15. Right, so they're I say, It's going to look like everybody else, but it's only because I've decided, then they'll go. Otherwise, they won't go on their own. Not that because they got into a fight, therefore anybody dies. Srila Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord and his associates appear and disappear by the will of the Lord. They are not subjected to the laws of material nature. No one was able to kill the family of the Lord, nor was there any possibility of their natural death by the laws of nature. The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was to make show of a fight among themselves, right? Otherwise, they could all just disappear, but then you won't think that they're, you know, they'll think they're demigods or something. They all just, you know, go like that. Because anyway, even though Krishna disappears and leaves a form here, then when he goes through the universe, then everybody, the demigods and all that, can see him. He's just going to his abode, so he's not. So they're not going to die according to the laws of nature, you know, so no one can kill them. They're spiritual. So the modes of nature, they're not going to die, so you have to create a drama to make it look as if something happened, you know. The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was to make show of a fight among themselves, as if brawling in intoxication due to drinking. That so-called fighting would also take place by the will of the Lord. Otherwise, there would be no cause for their fighting. Right? Because otherwise, they'll never fight with each other. So it's only by the will of the Lord that it happens. Just as Arjuna was made to be illusioned by family affection, and thus the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And he was saying about, you know, at the end of the class, and he says, you know, I also think the moral path and the, you know, beginning is the actual path. But then he's saying he was illusioned when he said that. So in other words, that person you were talking about that was teaching the class?
Oh, yeah.
He chooses illusion, not transcendence.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if it was like on a personal level, but in a position of a teacher.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That part was really...
That's
but people actually, except for myself... Uh-huh. I think nobody actually paid attention, although some disagreed with his position, mm-hmm. but they didn't see the philosophical problem in that presentation.
Yes.
But then, you know, for me, it was...
Yeah, it was inappropriate, because then you're saying, no, it's actually it's this. We're talking all this because, you know, it's the course, and by doing this, you get the Bhakti Shastra, you can get initiated.
Exactly.
But actually, I think it's that.
Yeah.
You know, so then the point is how are they qualified to teach? So another thing is, you have the faith, though you may not have all the knowledge. That's the qualification. Yeah. Not that you have the knowledge and don't have the faith. Otherwise, that's what it says. You know, the Chandala, who has the faith, he's qualified to be teacher. But the Brahmin who has all the qualities of a Brahmin and all the knowledge but doesn't have faith, he's not qualified to be a teacher. You know, not amongst Vaishnavas. He can go teach outside. They'll probably be quite happy.
Yeah.
You know, or if that's all that's his nature, he has to teach and that's what he can do, then don't say these things. Keep your opinions to yourself. And know what it is Krishna is saying, Prabhupada is saying, and try to get people to appreciate that. Yeah. You know, it may not have the full potency, but at least if he's trying to please Prabhupada by doing that, that'll give the potency. Even though he doesn't maybe necessarily believe it, but he's at least honest enough to know this is what I'm supposed to teach, this is what I teach. You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a problem actually when people start poking their noses in the areas they are not supposed to deal with. Mm-hmm. Because in a different area, he's like super expert in explaining, you know, so many other things. But in terms of pure devotional service, mm-hmm. not that he's just immature. Mm-hmm. As a devotee himself,
yes.
That's why he gave that opinion, because he shouldn't. It wasn't necessary,
yeah.
But then it happened. But other courses, you know, in terms of skills and knowledge, mm-hmm. he is super good. Although he's a young guy, actually, mm-hmm. like
yeah, no, years. It's nice.
But then Bhagavad Gita, especially the last chapters, It's not his area of understanding of how you call it?
It's not his
expertise.
Expertise. Yeah, in other words, he says stick to first chapter.
Yeah.
Because once you get the second chapter, then you find out that the opinion of the first chapter is the opinion of fools.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, so then it will kind of won't
be. Yeah.
That you do have that thing in that it means, because knowledge is itself is respectable, you know, just like wealth is respected. You know, knowledge is one of the positions of respect. So someone that has knowledge is taken that they're to be always respected, even if it's an area that's not their area of knowledge. In that assembly, they still are respected. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a group of, you know, chemistry professors, but let's say, biology professor walks in. They still have to respect him, even though it's not his area.
Yeah.
You know, because he's respected for his knowledge, though he won't speak on chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, just as they won't speak on biology, and none of them will speak on physics, right? You know, like that. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's there, but it has to be. But it's generally used many times as amongst lay people. It's used that if you're a scholar in at all, then you're a scholar for everything.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that when they're in their own scholarly circle, they can't do that. It's not the etiquette. But outside their circle, they many times try to pull that. So that's the thing, is if your identity is that of a scholar, then stick to that area that you are scholarly in.
Yeah.
And don't go out of that. Then it'll be successful. You know, if they can show this area, how to connect it to Krishna and this and that, that's nice. But going into, like you said, you know, what is just, you know, motive goodness and what's pure goodness. But actually there, Arjuna wants to give up the fight because it won't work out for him. It's actually motive passion. Mm-hmm. We'll be taking it. No, but he was taking the path of goodness. No, it was passion. Because goodness means performing your duty. He was giving up his duty because he wouldn't get the result he wanted. That's passion.
Also passion based on ignorance, because he didn't have knowledge of the self.
Yeah, so yes, that's even more. So it wasn't even passion based on, like Duryodhana, it's passion based on the Shastra that if you fight, you can get your kingdom. So this was, on ignorance. Right. Yudhishthira, that was, it's his duty, he's supposed to do these things, the king's kingdom should be managed properly. Yudhishthira, I mean, Duryodhana is not doing that, so he should be the king. So then it's goodness that the fight is there, you could say.
Yeah.
You know, but in this case, Arjuna was passion, you know, yes, motivated by in the field of ignorance. But as said here, it's by the Lord's arrangement that Arjuna becomes illusioned. So in the same way, it's by the Lord's arrangement that his eternal associates are fighting.
Also, Maharaj, nowadays devotees, or like every time, they read so many other people's books, and that's where they get confused. They cannot distinguish.
Yeah, they don't.
Especially on Mahabharata.
Yeah, they don't stick to their own. Especially anything modern. That's what I appreciate about Ganguly. He doesn't throw in opinions. You know. He may not bring out all the areas of translation that you could. It'll just be more just direct. But you see, more contemporary guys doing Mahabharata, they'll always put in their own opinion. It's giving an idea. He went and spent the night with it. You know, you may say they come there and they retire. They spent the night with their queens. But instead of just saying they retired for the evening, and you know them and their wives, and retired for the evening. Then they'll say is that then they spend the evening in sexual activities, but it doesn't say that. But you know that's what they do, you know. So those kind of things are really really useless, you know. So the modern guys will play with the culture because they don't know any philosophy, and my advice will play with the philosophy. And so if you read these, you just get confused.
Yeah.
You know. Because there's this idea of, oh, if everything's equal and we're all equal, then you should listen to everybody. And then, no, why? You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, should we bring the guy from a, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and let him explain, you know, the joy of, you know, moving around a mall with a chainsaw? You know, is that what, because that's what he has to say. You know, like that. You know, let's, you know, bring, what is it, you know, Goring and all those guys, and they can give their opinions on, you know, what they were trying to do and everything. No?
Was that Gwen?
Yeah. No?
Sure.
I think he was the, I may have it wrong, but he was one of the main, he might have been the PR guy for Hitler. He was, or he may have been one of the generals, or he was the one that was organizing the, you know, the retreats in Poland. You know, but he was one of the main guys. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, you know, because it's German.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that.
I know who you're talking about.
Himmler.
Himmler.
Oh, okay. Oh, and then you say with the H.
We say it's G.
Because it's stronger in Russian, but actually it's Himmler. Like Hitler, we say also with G.
Oh, okay.
It's Hitler.
Oh, okay. You could also say it with, yeah, it also has Hitler.
Yeah, Hitler.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes, but you have, so you have all these guys, so that we invite them in as someone to speak and all that, and, or, you know, at least, so we want to be very liberal and all that. Let's, you know, invite in Trump, let him, you know, explain what his plan is and everything.
He might be very useful. Yeah,
that's another thing. But I'm just saying, some would be very, no, yeah, like that, the guy's a demon, this and that. So the whole point is we're very specific who we allow to. Why would we not be specific in who we allow to speak on spiritual subject matter? Just because they claim to be a spiritualist, you know, the guy claims to be a leader, but is he? You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's the whole point. So, therefore, just because they're working in the field doesn't mean that the yogis also work in the field. They'll claim to be, you know, spiritual. The New Age guys will say they're spiritual. You know, the guys with the Ouija board will say they're spiritual. Like that. So, you know, who do we invite in? You know?
I mean, previously it was wild, but it was fair because it was a natural kind of selection. And it actually worked in the previous ages. I mean, not ages, not Kali, not Satya. But just before modern time, when everybody can speak out and, you know, my opinion, same as your opinion. But if you claim to be a leader, you have to challenge whoever was a leader and see who wins. And then it is what it is. So same, you know, debates and it was a culture.
Yeah.
So you have, and it's not only two parties debating. There's a third party who actually, you know, checks on all the rules are followed, and you don't use, you know, tricks, and you don't do what shouldn't be done, and like that.
No steroids.
Exactly. No steroids.
You talked for 10 hours and the other guy fell asleep, so he couldn't do any more, so therefore you won.
Yeah, you talked him to death.
Exactly.
So like that. But nowadays it's very, especially behind the screen, it's very strange.
Yeah, there's no culture, so you can't actually discuss.
Yeah.
You know, someone
there's
starts
no talk, discussion, basically.
Someone starts discussing the other guys. You know, journalists are most expert at that.
Yeah.
They come as if it's a discussion, but it's not a discussion. No. They're just going to ask questions till they get something they can write a story about, and then they'll be paid next week, you know, for it. You know, otherwise, then they don't get paid. You know, if they just go and says the guy said this and that, but that's not what the people want to hear, then that's not what they write.
Yeah, they build their own context, actually.
Yeah.
So it's unfair.
It's unfair. But they'll say it's in the name of truth and this and that. No, it all. It's just, get some particular fact that you can twist out of context and then put it into whatever is the popular political view now that the majority of people, because it's about majority. So if your news article is appreciated by a majority, then it's successful. It doesn't mean that majority has any understanding of the subject, just that they reacted. You know, while two or three that might actually understand don't agree with it, but they don't count because, you know, it's about volume. It's not about, quality. Yeah. So yeah, that's the difficulty now. Is there's no, like you said, there's no culture. So it can't be that you can, discuss and that discuss and that, the other guy speaks and that when he finishes speaking, you can't talk. And he'll listen to you, and this and that, and so.
The Indian Prime Minister took a stand not to talk to any journalist.
To any journalist. Yeah.
Who said that?
He never interacted, he was never in a talk show or anything for the last like 5, 6 years.
Oh, Prime Minister.
Really? Yeah. He just, I'm sure they invite, he just doesn't go.
He just ignored them fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's smart.
Yeah.
I think I know one more like that. He has been in power for many years in Russia.
Yeah.
A Russian friend?
Yeah.
Or maybe he just came because he visited just recently. Maybe he shared this experience.
Okay, yeah.
He said, try that.
Yeah.
Might work.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never heard any stories or conversations between him and the journalist.
Yeah, I mean, it's a waste of time.
It's below his level.
Yeah. It's one thing if they were discussing nicely and stuff like that, but when they're always trying to make an issue out of it.
I think it's called sensation.
Right? Yeah. It's they're looking for sensation because that's what makes their particular media sell. So it's business. Though in other words, somebody, they can say, they're getting all bent out of shape about truth, that he's not speaking the truth, but he's a politician, which means you're political. And you're saying he's low class, but you as a journalist are high class because you deal in truth. But the problem is you're actually a mercenary that uses truth, you sell truth to make money. So isn't that worse? He doesn't tell the truth, but he never says he does. You claim the truth, but you're only doing that to sell it to make money. So actually the journalists are worse. Like that.
One famous industrialist, he was like in a talk show, and then the journalist was going after him saying, how can you be partial to the government? He says, I'm an individual, I can be partial, that's my freedom, but you can't be biased against the government, that's against the rule. The journalist like,
I can do it, you can. You've had journalists who, for a long time, are talking the party line, but at some point they just can't do it anymore, and then they just say what they actually feel, but then they have to walk off and they can't come back.
Yeah.
They're out. It's just like, it's not like it'll slowly fall. No, it's that when they walk off, they just go home and that's it. They don't even have to call up to inquire if they're fired,
That was impressive.
Yeah.
And they can't mess with him anyway. He's like one of the top.
Yeah. And then afterwards, because they, then they speak, this guy goes, that's not the opinion of the thing, and then the show just plummets. Because people are watching because of him. Yeah. And as soon as anybody else is, who cares,
Or just to poke them up, we can buy everything. He can buy everything and use it for making toilet papers or something.
Oh, buy all the newspapers, that would be interesting,
Or buy his office.
Yeah, what do you call it? special newspaper, you know, it's just made out of magazines, you know. Recycling, yeah. We recycle the magazines, we make them into toilet paper. That would be a good business, wouldn't it?
India's always you. But for everything.
So. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. Okay. Just as Arjuna was made to be illusioned by family affection, and thus the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, so the Yadu dynasty was made to be intoxicated by the will of the Lord and nothing more. The devotees and associates of the Lord are completely surrendered souls. Thus they are transcendental instruments in the hands of the Lord and can be used in any way the Lord desires. The pure devotees also enjoy such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see him happy. Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. On the contrary, they utilize the individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.3.15, purport. When the Yadus quarrel among themselves, killing did not take place. What to speak of quarreling? It was meant, it was a means of giving up the earth. That was my desire. There is a further consideration. There was another goal, not killing. By my desire, mayi udyate, they will disappear. Sham indicates certainly. Or there is no means of killing them, but there is a method equal to killing. The rest of the verse has the same meaning. So, neither are they killed, neither could anyone else kill them. So it's only by Krishna's will they disappeared. Riti, in the next few Anuchetas, it is confirmed from the talks between Uddhava and Vidura that the associates of the Lord are never separated from him. Anucheta 128. After the Lord's disappearance, Uddhava speaks in the present tense, though the Lord's associates have also disappeared. This indicates that they live with the Lord even now. Durbhago bhata loko yam yadavo nitaram api ye samvasanto navidur harim mina ivo du pam. This verse, this universe with all its planets is most fortunate. This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead, any more than the fish could identify the moon. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.8. Srila Prabhupada, Uddhava lamented for the unfortunate persons of the world who could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna in spite of seeing all his transcendental godly qualities. From the very beginning of his appearance within the prison bars of King Kamsa up to his Maushala Lila, although he exhibited his potencies as the personality of Godhead in the six opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, the foolish persons of the world could not understand that he was the Supreme Lord. Foolish persons of the world could not understand that he was the Supreme Lord. Foolish persons might have thought him an extraordinary historic figure because they had no intimate touch with the Lord. But more unfortunate were the family members of the Lord, the members of the Yadu dynasty, who were always in the company with the Lord but were unable to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uddhava lamented his own fortune because although he knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not properly use the opportunity to render service to the Lord. He regretted everyone's misfortune, including his own. A pure devotee of the Lord thinks himself most unfortunate. That is due to excessive love for the Lord, and is one of the transcendental perceptions of viraha, the suffering of separation. It is learned from the revealed scriptures that the moon was born from the milk ocean. There is a milk ocean in the upper planets, and there Lord Vishnu, who controls the heart of every living being as Paramatma, the Supersoul, resides as the Kirodakshaya Vishnu. Those who do not believe in the existence of the ocean of milk because they have experience only of the salty water in the ocean should know that the world is also called the go, which means the cow. The urine of a cow is salty, and according to Ayurvedic medicine, the cow's urine is very effective in treating patients suffering from liver trouble. Such patients may not have any experience of the cow's milk, because milk is never given to liver patients. But the liver patient may know that the cow has milk also, although he has never tasted it. Similarly, men who have experience only of this tiny planet, where the saltwater ocean exists, may have information from the revealed scriptures that there is also an ocean of milk, although we have never seen it. From this ocean of milk, the moon was born. But the fish in the milk ocean could not recognize that the moon was not another fish and was different from them. The fish took the moon to be one of them, or maybe something illuminating, but nothing more. The unfortunate person persons who do not recognize Lord Krishna are like such fish. They take him to be one of them, although a little extraordinary in opulence, strength, etc. The Bhagavad Gita 9.11 confirms such foolish persons to be most unfortunate. Avajananti mam mudha manushin tanam hashritam. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.8 purport. The people of Dwarka appear in my heart. Though they live with the Lord, samva santaha, they do not know him as the Lord. It is not surprising that, not having the fortune to live with him, I do not know him. They did not live with him now, then he would have said they did not know him.
He's sitting at that eternally with him. So that's why I say I do not know him, instead of I did not know, because Krishna already left like that.
Mm. Okay, so Bhagavan is talking in the present. That's the point. He's taking here. Yeah, there's a bigger context there, because he's lamenting, so he'll be saying I don't know and everything. But he's talking about now. That's the point. Anucheta 129. You say that they do not know him even now. So that's the point. They do not even know him now. Saying they're unfortunate, they don't know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they still don't know that he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though they're with him now. So even though they've disappeared, means they're still with him. They're eternally together. That's the point he's coming out. How do you know that? He answers according to his personal realization of their previous conduct. In Gita, Gya, Puru, Praudha, Ekaramas, Cha, Satvata. Satvatam, Rishabam, Sarve, Bhuta, Vasam, Amam, Sata. The Yadavas, knowing the inner heart of the Lord, being very intelligent, enjoying individually with him, knew him as the best among them and knew him only as Paramatma. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.9. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. That was 3.2.9 and the other one was 3.2.8. Okay. In the Vedas it is said that the Supreme Lord of the Paramatma cannot be understood simply by the strength of one's erudition or power of mental speculation. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shutena. Kathu Upanishad 1.2.23. He can be known only by one who has the mercy of the Lord. The Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced, but in spite of their knowing the Lord as the one who lives in everyone's heart, they could not understand that he is the original personality of Godhead. This lack of knowledge was not due to their insufficient erudition. It was due to their misfortune. In Vrindavan, however, the Lord was not even known as the Paramatma, because the residents of Vrindavan were pure, unconventional devotees of the Lord and could think of him only as their object of love. They did not know that he is the personality of Godhead. The Yadus, or the residents of Dwarka, however, could know Lord Krishna as Vasudeva, or the Super Soul living everyone, but not as the Supreme Lord. As scholars of the Vedas, they verified the Vedic hymns, Eko Deva Sarva Bhuta Divasa Antaryami and Vrishninam Paradevata. The Yadavas therefore accepted Lord Krishna as the supreme, as the super soul incarnated in their family, and not more than that. Srimad Bhagavatam 329 purport. Right, so that's, they didn't know, but they're still his associates, right? Because, you know, for that level of love, they don't need to know. So Vrindavan, they don't need to know at all, because it's just about him. Here it's that he's, you know, the greatest personality, but it's still him as a person. Like that. So in Vaikuntha, there they know he's God. They thought of the Lord as Antaryami of all beings, Bhuta Vasam, though he is Swayam Bhagavan, living at present as master of their dynasty and the best of the Sattvatas. Sarva Bhuta Divasa, he resides in all beings. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:18. Vrishni Nam Paradevata, for the Vrishnis, Krishna was the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:43:17. Uddhava spoke thus to Vidura. Anucheta 130. Uddhava prays to go with the Lord previous to his departure. Naham tavangri kamalam shanardam apikeshava chaktum samut sahe nata svadama nayamam api. O Keshava, O Master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. Take me along with you to your own abode. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:6:43. Uddhava requests that the Lord take him to Dwarka, Swadhama, a special place manifest within the material world. As you have taken the other Yadus, take me. The word api would be useless if another meaning were taken. Uddhava spoke thus. Okay. Riti. Having established that the associates of the Lord are eternal and that they appear and disappear according to his will. So he says, you know, is it within the material world, that special place. So it means they're in the Prakat Lila of Dwarka. Now they've gone to the Aprakat Lila of Dwarka. So he says, you please take me there. Uddhava spoke thus. Riti. Having established that the associates of the Lord are eternal and they appear and disappear according to his will. The author next enunciates the glories of his eternal devotees from the Yadu dynasty, such as Uddhava, Vasudeva, and Devaki. Anucheta 1:31. The Yadus are described as eternal in Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, Kartikeya, Mahatmya. Yata Saumitri Bharatao Yata Sankarshanadyaha Tata tenaiva jayante nija lokad yadrichaya punas tenaiva gachanti tatfalam shashvatam param nakarama bandhanam jnanam janma vaishnavanam chavityate. Just as Lakshman, Bharata, and Sankarsana take birth with the Lord, the Yadavas, descending from their spiritual planet by the Lord's will, take birth with the appearance of Lord Krishna, and then return to his eternal Dhamma along with him. The birth of these devotees is not caused by bondage of karma. Padma Purana 6:29, 57, and 58. Nija Lokat and Tatparam indicate the spiritual planets of Rama and Krishna according to Padma Purana. Since it was mentioned that Matsya and other avatars have their separate places in Vaikuntha, the associates of the Lord take birth like the Lord by the will of the Lord for a reason. Vidura says, though the Lord is without birth, he appeared in this world to destroy the wicked. Though without action, the Lord performed actions to attract his devotees. On the other hand, the jivas of this world are dependent on karma and rebirth. How can one who is beyond the gunas take a body and perform material actions? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:144. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Brahma Samhita 5:1. The form of the Lord is eternal, blissful, and all satisfying. His so called birth is therefore an appearance only, like the birth of the sun on the horizon. his birth does not, like that of the living entities, take place under the influence of material nature and the bondage of the reaction of past deeds. His works and activities are independent pastimes and are not subject to the reactions of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita 4.14 it is said, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spriha. Iti mam yo bijanati karma bhir nasa bhatyate. The law of karma enacted by the Supreme Lord for the living entities cannot be applicable to him. Nor has the Lord any desire to improve himself by activities like those of ordinary living beings. Ordinary living beings work for the improvement of their unconditional. Ordinary living beings work for the improvement of their conditional lives. But the Lord is already full of all opulence, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Why should he desire improvement? No one can excel him in any opulence. And therefore, the desire for improvement is absolutely useless for him. One should always discriminate between the activities of the Lord and those of ordinary living beings. Thus, one may come to the right conclusion regarding the Lord's transcendental position. One who can come to the conclusion of the Lord's transcendence can become a devotee of the Lord and can at once be freed from all reaction of past deeds. It is said, Karmani nirdahati kintu pachapakti bhajam. The Lord minimizes or nullifies the reactionary influence of the devotee's past deeds. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:54. Brahma Samhita. What did I say?
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, if you say the S first, then it's Srimad Bhagavatam. The activities of the Lord will be accepted and relished by all living entities. His activities are to attract the ordinary man towards the Lord. The Lord always acts in favor of the devotees, and therefore ordinary men who are fruit of actors or seekers of salvation may be attracted to the Lord when he acts as protector of the devotees. The fruit of actors can attain their goals by devotional service, and the salvationists can also attain their goal in life by devotional service to the Lord. The devotees do not want the fruit of results of their work, nor do they want any kind of salvation. They relish the glorious superhuman activities of the Lord, such as his lifting Govardhan Hill and his killing the demon Putana in infancy. His activities are enacted to attract all kinds of men, karmis, jnanis, and bhaktas. Because he is transcendental to all laws of karma, there is no possibility of accepting a form of maya as is forced on the ordinary living entities who are bound by the actions or reactions of their own deeds. The secondary purpose of his appearance is to annihilate the upstart asuras and to stop the nonsense of atheistic propaganda by less intelligent persons. By the Lord's causeless mercy, the asuras who are killed personally by the personality of Godhead get salvation. The meaningful appearance of the Lord is always distinct from ordinary birth. Even the pure devotees have no connection with the material body, and certainly the Lord, who appears as he is in his Satchidananda, Brahma Samhita 5.1, form is not limited by a material form. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.144.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada
Ki Jai.